Welcome back, everybody, to the episode of the J.E. Stevens Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 230, dedicated to a man who on November 13th, 2021, won the 1999 Heisman Trophy, Mr. Ron Dayne. On today's episode, we will be diving into what's going on with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville and one thing that is missing from today's NBA that could make it even better. But first, our man, your man, Mr. Bryce Young wins the 2021 Heisman Memorial Trophy. This year in college football has been very, very exciting. From the beginning, Spencer Rattler was a front runner, and we got to see all throughout the year how people progressed, how the transition from the narrative was going forward, and how people would view this year's college football season and the players inside of it. Bryce Young has been steady, has been smooth, has been a player that I think even on his own team, even though he didn't get all the attention, he was somebody that everybody knew you could rely on. That guy, that one individual, the man that runs the offense for our team to be successful, to the tune that he wins this year's Heisman Trophy and he becomes the fourth Alabama Crimson Tide football player to win such a prestigious award. The fourth, like I mentioned, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Devonta Smith last year, and then this year, Mr. Bryce Young. All Alabama is third in the schools that have the most Heisman Trophy winners. The schools that have the most, Notre Dame has seven, Ohio State has seven, and Oklahoma has seven. USC has six, plus their one vacated. If you want to put that by seven, so be it. Then you have Alabama at four, and then you have three numerous schools that have three Heisman Trophy winners: Army, Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Michigan, and Nebraska. The Heisman Trophy has lost some of the appeal that it has had for quite a long time. However, one thing we cannot deny is that when a player plays at an elite level and he does it consistently, and he has his Heisman moment or a Heisman moment, in the very last game that he has played prior to the voters voting for the Heisman Trophy, you will think, wait, is he going to do it? I mean, all year long we heard, Will Anderson, he's going to win the award. Will Anderson, he's that guy. Will Anderson is the one that is going to win the award this year. Honestly, I thought it was going to be Will Anderson. I thought he was going to be a little higher in the voting and the running than he was this year. I thought Will Anderson, at the end, we've got a push for Aiden Hutchinson based off how he played against the Ohio State Buckeyes. That was such a hard game to watch. We talked about that the last time we were together. It was not fun to watch. But Bryce Young, his steadiness, his ability to seize the moment, even though he had sometimes the team had some issues against LSU, some issues against Auburn, some issues against lesser opponents. Alabama and their quarterback and a team that did not have all of the weapons that has had over the past few years, they have been successful, and they are a team in the playoff and a team that can win the national championship this year. The Heisman voting was very interesting. Honestly, I'm not a Heisman voter. I don't have anything to do with the Heisman Trust. But if I was somebody putting this thing together and trying to decide if we should have four Heisman finalists or three come to New York, I'm looking at the numbers right now. I'm going to give them right to you here in a second. I think the number is three. I would not have sent four guys, and you're going to understand why here in a second. C.J. Stroud would have came to the Heisman. No, Bryce Young, excuse me. We'll get to Stroud in a second. Bryce Young would have came to Heisman voting. He had 2,311 points, total points. He also led all voters with total first-place votes. He had 684. Second place was Aiden Hutchinson at 954. Then you had Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh, 631 points, and then a major drop-off to the 399 points that C.J. Stroud had. Yes, it's a great experience. Yes, it's phenomenal for an individual such as C.J. Stroud to be in New York. But I think they could have just kept with the three that were the top three, especially when you look at the numbers. 325 was the very next person, number five, and that was Will Anderson from Alabama, somebody that I assumed would be in New York all season long, even over Jordan Davis, based off how he played. These are the numbers. This is how the voting went down. Bryce Young, you won it. I did not think we would have back-to-back Alabama football players to win this award, but we have it. And also what we have is Bryce Young being the very first quarterback from the University of Alabama to win this award as well. Bryce Young, great season. You got more games to play. I'm excited to see what else happens with you on the football field this year. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Jacksonville, Florida, because what's going on with Urban Meyer is very, very interesting. But how would you respond if you're losing as much as he has this year? Urban Meyer. I think everybody realized when Urban Meyer took the job in Jacksonville, that this was going to be a very, very, very tough task for him. I don't think anybody thought that Urban Meyer was going to be somebody that when it came down to Urban Meyer coaching football this year, that Urban was going to be someone that was just going to come in, have no issues, smoothly make the transition from TV to the NFL at a level that he has never played at before, at a team, on a team that is not known for having success. Yes, they went to the AFC Championship a few years ago, but what we saw last year, what we're seeing this year, is a team that is a work in progress, consistently has been and is a work in progress. And I just wonder if Urban Meyer thought this thing would be a whole lot easier than it is. How would you respond when you're losing in the way that Urban Meyer is? Let's just start right there. You're Urban Meyer. You have college football national championships. You've had success at numerous stops along the way, from Bowling Green in Ohio to Utah to Florida. Took a year off, went to the ESPN, the television thing, went to Ohio State, went health reasons, took a year off, went over to Fox. I literally say took a year off because I think he wanted to get back into coaching after a few weeks into doing his thing there on the Fox television pregame show. I thought he wanted to be there the entire time. He got back into coaching, but I didn't think he was going to go back into the NFL. That doesn't seem like a spot for Urban Meyer. Never has. I don't know how long Urban Meyer is going to be able to stay in the NFL because he's losing. Nobody likes losing. I remember when I was a youngster, story time. Let's have a little story time with Jay. First live show here on Twitter on the at Jay Stevens Pod. And then also, as on the ticker, the title is wrong. And then also on YouTube as well, just search the Jay Stevens Podcast. You'll find that one there. The one thing that I think, when I think about Urban Meyer and him losing, is how would I respond in that same way? If I'm Urban Meyer, and if I'm somebody that is going to be going to a new profession that I've never been in before, how would I respond if I'm losing in the way that Urban Meyer is? Probably pretty bad. Probably in a way that I would not like the way that losing feels. When I was a youngster, let's get to story time. When I was a youngster, my brother and I played Super Nintendo. We had Dreamcast. We had a PlayStation 3. I want to say we had a PS2 as well. My brother and I played games all the time. Basketball, we had a hockey game on the Super Nintendo, NBA Street Volume 2 on the Dreamcast, going back to my childhood. I mean, we played these things all the time. And there's one interesting thing that happened when I used to lose in these games. Every single time I would lose, it wasn't fun. I would have a weird feeling. I would be a little upset. I would be a little uneasy with the way that the losing felt, with the way that I felt in the moment, because my little brother, is beating me in a video game that many people believe, because you're older, you should be better in that game. But no. I remember times playing the game. My brother sitting right there next to me. We used to have a coffee table. He used to use it as a seat. My mom did not like that. My dad didn't like it either. But we're playing the game. We get into it. After a while, they're like, they're fine. Let them go. But one thing that would happen consistently and all the time was my brother and I playing this game. And there would be times I'd be losing, and I would just go crazy. I mean, wanting to throw the controller. One thing we never did. We never broke any controllers. I say we because my brother and I both had little outbursts from when we lost the game. We never threw any controllers. We never broke a controller, never broke any television screens, never broke any windows, never broke anything. That is one luxury that I can say throughout all of the little ups, how upset I got and how frustrated I got when it came to playing the games. We didn't break nothing. That's now we broke other things. I had some things that happened where my brother, I had stitches for things my brother and I did. My brother had stitches. Other things that happened, we're brothers fighting, doing those things. But we never, ever, ever broke anything. But losing sucks. Losing absolutely sucks. Can you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars record right now? Can you think about how hard it would be if you were Urban Meyer coming in and having the prestige and the allure and being a college football coaching legend that he is, going and trying to do something very, very new to you at a different level where you can't do the same things. You're trying to bring in old tactics to a new game, and that game says, hey, buddy, that stuff don't work here. I don't know what you're doing in Columbus or Gainesville, but you can't do this stuff down in the NFL. You will get shipped up out of town. People will get on Urban Meyer for what happened at Urban Meyer's at Urban Spine House, or the name of his restaurant there in Ohio. People will get on him for the things that he is doing inside of the locker room, where he is saying, I'm a winner, you're a loser, to people on the staff there for the Jaguars. It is a mess. But one thing I think people have forgotten about, losing sucks. It absolutely sucks. You think losing is fun? Do you think losing is enjoyable? How about you go out there, do something new for the very first time where you're graded on and you are looked at and you are going to be put on a scale. Do you win or do you lose? If you win, you're great. If you lose, you're not. But you're looking at these things in that way. And one thing I think is really detrimental to certain people is that when you're not consistently doing something at a certain level, you are going to be hurting yourself. You're going to be losing things. You're going to be somebody that people can look at you and say, I don't think that's wise. I don't think the way you're responding is proper, but you're responding in a way because it's new, and losing sucks. It's not fun. Urban Meyer has never lost like this as a coach. Now, maybe early on at Bowling Green, but not as consistently as it is now. Losing wears on you. Trying to do things for free agency or do things for the draft and season, there is a time and place for everything in the NFL. People will knock Urban. People will rip Urban. People will do all these things. Put yourself in Urban shoes. Do that. And then come back to me and talk to me about what you think the proper way for Urban Meyer to respond is. You're gonna give me all the details. You're gonna give me a notebook out. I'm like, hey, let's go to class, y'all. I'm gonna get a notebook out. I'm gonna start writing things down. I'm gonna click the pen now. I'm gonna start writing things down here. And the next thing you know, you're writing down the proper way to do things. And you want to say, well, how would you respond when you're losing? Give me an example about how you responded when you lost consecutively over and over and over and over again. How did you feel? How were things going in your mind? How did people around you view you when you were losing things? What kind of questions did you have to answer when you're at home with your family, with your wife, with your kids, with your grandkids? What kind of things were going on? And then use that to look at the way that Urban Meyer is doing things. Now, I'm not saying Urban Meyer's been perfect. I will not do that. I think Urban Meyer's mindset needs to be shifted. I think Urban Meyer needs to get a reality check. I think Urban Meyer needs to do a lot of things that adults do when things aren't going their way. I firmly believe all of those things. But it's something else that I firmly believe about Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. He can turn things around mentally in his head. How long will it take? Well, has he run out of time? That is possible. I talked to a Jacksonville Jaguar podcast host just a day ago for Locked On Buckeyes. I wanted to get a little segment at the end of the show for him highlighting the things that Urban Meyer is doing. And the one consensus thing that I got at the end of us talking, he's not happy. Fans aren't happy. The organization is not happy. Nobody is happy with the things that are going on internally inside of the organization. The one thing I know, people can change. That was a weird thing to think about in 2021, people changing. But people can change. People can do a lot of things when you least expect them to. People can change. Urban Meyer can change. How quickly will it happen? Will it happen? That's to be determined. I don't think he'll change, just be being honest with you. I think it's hard for him to wrap his head around a new venture, a new level of football where things are not done the way that he has been doing things for the past 20-plus years. I think it's going to hurt him down the road. I think he could be on the outside looking in very, very soon. And it would not shock me at all if Urban Meyer is no longer the head football coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars before the season is over. The NFL season will be over very, very soon, but what's going on right now with the NBA is very, very exciting. We're having Steph Curry do his things, about to break a record on a Monday evening, well, possibly about to break a record on a Monday evening. So many things. The Lakers are, well, LeBron's playing again. I know the last time I checked consistently with LeBron James, LeBron had not been playing consistently, had an abdominal injury or had an injury that had set him out. The Anthony Davis thing is not working. They're talking about possibly trying to fire Frank Vogel. So much going on to the NBA drama-wise, and the NBA is a place, and if you feed off of drama, that's a place you can thrive. It's unfortunate that people thrive and get fuel from other people's drama, but that's the way that the cookie crumbles, and that's the way things are going on right now in the National Basketball Association. Many people like myself generally start to tap into and get fully wrapped into and jump into the deep end of the NBA around Christmas time, fully for most people at the NBA All-Star Break, All-Star Game in February. But what we're talking about right now, what we're looking at right now, is how to make the NBA better, not at Christmas, not how to make the NBA better at February around the All-Star Game time, All-Star Break, but how to make the NBA better right now. I know for years, there were villains. For years, there were rivalries. We don't have to look back into the Lakers and Celtics in the 80s to find an NBA rivalry. We don't have to go back that far. You don't have to go back as far to the 90s with the Bulls and the Knicks, the Bulls and the Pacers, the Pacers and the Knicks. You don't have to go back that far to find a rivalry. You don't have to go back to the early 2000s with the Lakers and the Kings. You don't have to go back that far to do that. How about you go back recently? People got very, very annoyed by LeBron James and how much success he had with the Miami Heat. People got very, very annoyed that it seemed like no matter what team LeBron was on, the Heat for 4 years or the Cavs for 4 years, they were running the Eastern Conference. People got very, very annoyed. People got annoyed when LeBron went to LA and he started to plan for his future as an individual, as well as prepare and be at a place as prestigious, as luxurious as LA, and a franchise that has had a lot of success over its tenure in the National Basketball Association. People got upset about that. One thing I don't think people really appreciated at the time is the Pacers and Heat rivalry in the early 2010s, or the Heat and Spurs in back-to-back NBA Finals, or the Warriors and the Cavaliers in those NBA Finals. I don't think people truly realize the back and forth, or we know this is going to be a battle, or might be some type of rivalry there. I don't think people truly realized that and appreciated it, because I think one way to make the NBA better, to make the product better, is not so much a villain. I'm not going to go down that far, but the NBA is missing rivalries. We just got done a few weeks ago, Thanksgiving weekend, with rivalry week in college football. From you having Ohio State and Michigan, to having Alabama and Auburn, Oregon, Oregon State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. What was it? Nebraska played Iowa, I think, that weekend. You had all of these rivalry games, Washington State. You also had, no, UCLA did not play USC that week. That was early in the year. But there were so many games. Rivalries in college football are one thing that college football fans get fuel off of. They look forward to those games. Indiana-Purdue right here in my own backyard. These are things that people get fuel off of, and they cannot wait to watch those games, for those games to be played, and to see what the outcome of the matchups are going to be. People are waiting for that. And I think right now, if there not really being a rivalry, that's one thing that can now it's something that's organically put together, not something to where, hey, we can cultivate this thing and put this thing together overnight. No. We want to organically have this happen. Think back to the Lakers and Celtics. I mean, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson came into the NBA around the same time, and they played in the NCAA Final Four National Championship in 1979. They were doing those things in college, met there, and then it was something that ran throughout the entire 80s. Celtics had three championships. The Lakers had five. Think about that. Think about how many championships were dominated in that period of time by those two franchises, where they were meeting in the NBA championship year after year after year. In the NBA, people got mad because of that stuff that was going on. We got tired of seeing the same teams over and over and over. I don't think that was the way of the 80s. I don't think that at all. I talked to my dad about that stuff. He's never complained. I don't think people in Indiana ever got mad at facing the Knicks in the playoffs year after year after year. I don't think that. Mm-mm. The Bulls and Knicks, basketball fans in general, not just Bulls fans and Knicks fans, but basketball fans in general, looked forward to those matchups. Think back to the Knicks and the Heat. I think it was a 99 finals or 98 finals where they got into that fight, and P.J. Brown and Charlie Ward got into it. Charlie Ward actually talked about that here on the podcast back in the summer. These are things that used to fuel fans, and these are things that people look forward to. I could talk to NBA heads. Is there a rivalry? Who was a Pacers rival? Who was a Lakers rival? Who is the Warriors' rival? I mean, who is the Miami Heat's rival right now? Philadelphia 76ers, Boston Celtics. I mean, they have rivalries, but I think the intensity or lack of intensity nationally that is looked at in these games, in these matchups, I think it's not the same as the way that it used to be. I don't know if you can cultivate that the way that it used to be. Society is different. Sports are different. Rules are different. Physicality is different, not just the way they call it, by the way the players play. A lot of things are different. It can be cultivated. It can be done. I just don't know how or how quickly that will happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tapping into this live show here on Twitter at J Stevens Pod and on YouTube. Just search the J Stevens Podcast. First of hopefully many live shows we do together. Be here once a week. We'll be tapping into different hot topics in sports and providing original, authentic, enjoyable opinions to get you through the week. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at jstevenspod. That is where every show will be live. This has been episode 230 of the J Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.